Proverbs chapter 13, if you will, please. And I want to read just the first verse. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. I'm going to spend a couple more weeks doing what we've been doing for the last few months, which is taking up these topics in Proverbs and tracing them through the book to see the book's teachings on the subject. A couple more weeks of that, and then I intend to return back to the second half of the book of John. We preached through the first half of that a little while ago, and we'll finish up and pick up the second half of that, as I said, after a couple more weeks of our study in Proverbs. Today, I want to look at what the book of Proverbs has to say about children, about listening to our parents, honoring our parents as children and as adults, and the importance of discipline in child rearing. My father, who taught school, educated children for decades, had a sign hanging up in his office, made a great impact on me as a child. That sign said, "We old folks know more about being young than you young folks know about being old." And the simple logic of that statement to me as a young child, I remember that it was just inescapable, that was just so patently and obviously true. How could it not be true? It made a great impression on me. Well, Proverbs has a lot to say about the relationship between parents and children. And indeed, in one way, this is what the whole book is about, isn't it? Because the book is a father speaking to his son and giving his son advice, wisdom, instruction. So we want to look at some of those issues. I want to exhort, encourage the children in the congregation, especially, to pay attention to this first part here. We're going to talk about the importance of obeying your parents. And then we want to talk about the importance of honoring our parents, not just as children, but as adults as well. And finally, we want to talk about the role of discipline in our lives. But first, the importance of obeying parents. And again, I want to strongly encourage all of you children, any of you that are under the age of about 20 and still living in your parents' home and still under your parents' discipline, to listen very closely for the next few minutes. First of all, as we said, Proverbs 13, that verse we just read. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son. A wise son, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. And Proverbs 30, verse number 17. The eye that mocks his father, listen to this, young people, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. So, the first part of the lesson is very simple. Young people, obey your parents. Do what they tell you. Do it promptly. Do it cheerfully. Do it the first time. Now, if they tell you to rob a bank or something equally wicked, don't do that. But I don't think anybody in the congregation right now has to worry too much about that. You have godly parents. You have parents who have you in church. You have parents who want to train you and teach you in the ways of the Lord. They want good things for you. They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They might tell you things that aren't right. But you're not smarter than them. You're not wiser than them. You're not smart enough right now to tell the difference. So do what they tell you. Remember what Proverbs has said throughout about the scoffer, the fool. See, the person, the fool, the scoffer, the one who does not listen to rebuke, he thinks he's very smart. He thinks he's very clever, very sophisticated. He thinks he knows better than dumb old mom and dad. That's not what Proverbs says. Proverbs says he's the dumb one. He's the fool. He's the idiot. Because all of these terrible things that are going to come upon him, all of these horrible results that are going to happen to him if he doesn't listen to the rebuke of his parents. The book of Proverbs presents that one to us as simple, foolish. He doesn't see, he doesn't understand. Like I said, when I read that sign, I remember the first time, I was just young, I first noticed that sign, I was 7 or 8 years old, noticed that sign in my dad's office that said, "We old folks know more about being young than you young folks know about being old." Hard to argue with that. Now, nobody can force you. Nobody can make you obey your parents. This is true. Your parents can cajole you, and they can yell at you, and they can spank you, and up until you're about age 9, 8, or 9, or 10, they can just force you by physical force to obey. But you know what? After that, certainly by the time you're 12, 13, 14 years old, if you really don't want to obey your parents, they can't make you. They can bring a lot of pain and suffering into your life. They can really make it hard. They can really encourage you in that direction. But if you want to rebel against your parents, you can. It's your business. You can do that. Another thing my dad liked to say is you can choose to believe what you want to believe, but you can't choose the consequences for what you believe. And so it is too with a choice like this. You can choose, young people, listen to me. You can choose to believe that you know better about life than your parents do. You can choose that. And there isn't a thing in the world that anybody can do to prevent you from choosing to believe that. But you cannot choose the consequences of that belief. Proverbs says one of the consequences of that belief is that the ravens of the valley will pick out your eyes. You know what that means? That means you will die in a place where nobody cares about you so much as to even give you a decent burial. That's what Proverbs says. To the one who mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. Serious business we're talking about here, young people. Proverbs 13, verse 8 says, "Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored." If you learn these basic lessons, if you learn to listen to people who are older than you, listen to people who have been there, listen to people who know, good things will come as a result. Blessings will come. Honor will come. People will say, "That's a smart kid. That kid's got it together. He listens." But if you're too big a fool to listen to the people who love you the most, the people who love you the most in your life and want the very best for you, if you're too big a fool to listen to the advice of those people, then you're going to have a pretty tough time in life. And there's just no getting around it. There's always time, though. Don't despair. God is merciful and gracious. And you can repent. You can repent of sin. And you can return in faith to the truth. And we all have to do this every single day. to rethink the way we've been acting and rethink the way we've been thinking about things and turn back to God's wisdom. It's a great blessing that God gives us, a great mercy. You know, human beings take a long time to be ready to live on their own. A baby snake, a baby turtle, you know, they're on their own within days, sometimes hours after they hatch out of their nest, depending on the species. You know, a cat can have babies of its own in less than a year. For mice, it's 8 weeks. Human beings take years and years before we can get by on our own. And God gives us this great gift. He gives us parents. He gives us parents, and He puts this physical thing in parents where parents just love their kids so much. You won't understand it till you have kids of your own. It's just biological. It's just physical. It's just built into them. So that you young people, think about this. God gave you people in your life who want to spend their time and their money to do good things for you and don't expect anything back. That's a great gift. Be smart. Take advantage of it. Benefit from it. Your parents want you to succeed. Your parents want good things for your life. They're not just trying to spoil your fun. They're not just jealous of your youth because they're old, tired people. They want good things for you. And that's why they discipline you. And that's why they correct you. And teach you. Your parents discipline when they spank you or when they take away privileges or give you extra chores or whatever it is they do. These things are designed to help you avoid bad behavior, to teach you to associate bad behavior with pain so that you will avoid it. Because the very same bad behaviors that they are trying to encourage you not to do now, those bad behaviors will lead to much worse consequences down the road if you don't change your ways. Because, and again, listen to me, kids. It says, even a child is known by his deeds. You know, when you're 10 years old, and you are a certain way, you're not just going to magically one day turn 18 and all of a sudden change. All of a sudden become a whole different person. You're not going to turn 21 or 25 or 30 and just like that, just become somebody different. At some point in your life, you've got to decide that you're going to stop being foolish, you're going to stop being a child, and you're going to start being wise. And you can make that decision at any point in your life. You can make that decision when you're 5 years old. That you're going to start listening. You're going to start growing up. Going to start being mature. Because if you don't, well, when you're 5 years old and you lose your temper and you slug your brother, well, maybe you'll get a spanking for that. When you're 20 years old and you lose your temper and you punch somebody, well, then you might go to jail. Or you might get shot. The consequences get much, much worse. The very things your parents are disciplining for you now, if you're lazy, you don't do your chores, you won't clean your room, you won't obey. You know what? If your mom tells you to do something and you ignore her the first 3 or 4 times she tells you, and she says, take out the trash, take out the trash, take out the trash, take out the trash. Well, then she's in a bad mood and maybe you have a bad day. If your boss at work has to do that, then you get fired and you lose your job. Like I said, the consequences get much, much worse. And that's why your parents love you enough to bring pain into your life to encourage you away from bad behavior. The stakes are very high, and your parents know that. See, we don't just come into the world knowing the things that we need to know. The world is a very complicated place. Your parents can help you get started. They can help you avoid some of the most obvious mistakes. You listen to them and you'll be glad you did. When you're 25, when you're 20, 30 years old, then you will have enough life experience at that point to look back on your parents' instruction and say, well, maybe this or that wasn't quite right. Maybe I'm going to do that a little differently. When you're 14, and no offense intended to anybody, but the fact is, when you're 14 years old, you're not near as smart as you think you are. And I know because I was 14 once, and I thought I was a whole lot smarter than I really was. Your parents want you to succeed. Your parents want you to be happy. They want you to have a great life. They want you to achieve great things, to be financially successful, and to have a great marriage, have a great family. They want these things for you. When your behavior causes them to be sad, causes them grief, causes them to be embarrassed, that's a good indication that you're on the wrong track. As Proverbs says, that a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. So when your behavior is causing grief and sorrow for your mom and dad, that's a really good indication that your behavior is behavior that's going to be very bad for you. Because they want good things for you. They want you to succeed. So pay attention. Listen. Be wise. Don't be dumb. Don't be simple. Don't be a fool. And always, fathers and mothers, Proverbs repeatedly exhorts us to listen to our fathers and our mothers. Your fathers and mothers have different kinds of wisdom. They have different kinds of experiences. And most of the time, God gives us two parents for that reason. Listen to both. Every child, every kid, when he becomes a teenager, when he turns about 12, 13 years old, he or she wants so badly to be an individual. You want to be different. You want to forge your own way. It's very natural, very understandable, very good, really. That's why the rebellious teenager is such a stereotype. If you really want to be an individual, if you really want to be different, then don't do what most of the kids do. Don't become that rebellious teenager. Continue to respect and listen to your parents. Then you will really be an individual. Then you will really be different, unique. Seek out their wisdom. Seek out their help, and you will be rewarded for it. The Bible says so. And God doesn't lie. Now, the next application of this principle, though, then, is that we are called, and the Proverbs calls us to this repeatedly, we are called to respect our parents, to respect our elders throughout our lives. Not just as children, but as adults too. I am becoming increasingly convinced that the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you, is probably more important for us as adults than it is for us as kids. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Or Proverbs 19, verse 26 says, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Or Proverbs 23, verse 22 through 25. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. See there? Do not despise your mother when she is old. That's not just talking about when you're a child. That's talking about your elderly mother. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. The scriptures constantly call us to respect for the previous generation. And when we grow up, when we're in our 20s, in our 30s, our 40s, even more importantly then than when we're as children, to have respect for those that have gone before and to listen to their wisdom. And first and foremost, that means our parents, but I think there's a broader application here too. But the first point we want to make here, and what I think lies right at the heart of the fifth commandment, is that I am who I am, in large part because of my parents. Whatever my parents were like, whether my parents were good people or whether my parents were bad people, the fact is, I am who I am because of my parents. And God gave me those parents. If I am bitter and angry about my parents, then I am at war with who I am, with my very nature, with who God made me to be. God gave me parents. God put me into this world in a particular time and place. He put me into a situation, into a socioeconomic class, in a particular town, in a particular state, with particular parents and grandparents and brothers and all the situation that He put me in. I didn't choose any of those things. I didn't choose whether I was going to be a man or a woman, or how tall I was going to be, or how smart I was going to be. What country I was born into, I wasn't born into, I didn't choose any of those things. And yet those things go right to the heart of who I am. They make up so much about my identity. Would my life look the same if I had been born an Ethiopian woman in the 14th century? Yeah, my life would be different. I would be different. But I wasn't. I was born me. Honor your father and your mother. A big, big part of that is to accept God's providence in our lives. To accept who it is that God made us. And what's the result of that? That your days may be long upon the land. And so we see repeatedly here, whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. A person who is in rebellion against his parents, even as an adult, the honor you show your parents as an adult changes. It's different than the relationship you have when you're 8 years old. But the obligation to honor and respect your parents never goes away. The fifth commandment doesn't say honor your father and your mother until you turn 18 and move out of their house. It just says honor your father and your mother. To cast out, in Proverbs 20, verse 20, that his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Idea of being cast out into obscurity, rejected in darkness where nobody cares about you, nobody even knows about you anymore. You're just excluded. You're gone. That's what happens to the person that curses his father and his mother. Proverbs 19, verse 26, that we quoted a moment ago, speaks of shame and reproach. The other reason, another reason that this becomes so important, again, to in a sermon about parents, I suppose it's appropriate to quote my father this much, but my father said once to me, he said, the sins of old men are different than the sins of young men. That was a very perceptive statement. It's easy for young people, though, to view old people with contempt. So easy, it's so natural. Especially when you turn about 16, 17, 18 years old, you're in your 20s, you're starting to have some success. You're starting to do well for yourself. And you look at your parents, especially as they get older, they're in their 60s or they're in their 70s or 80s. And they're physically weaker. They have archaic fashions. They don't wear the latest snappy clothes. They listen to boring old people's music and they don't know how to work the latest iPhone. And so you have contempt for them. But old people have seen a lot. They've experienced a lot. And they have a lot of wisdom. A lot of cultures, even ungodly cultures, even unchristian cultures, like the Japanese and the Chinese, who very, very highly prize community coherence and everybody doing their part and the good of the whole over the individual. They strongly focus on respect for your elders, so much so that they even worship their ancestors. Because it takes experience. You know, when I'm 20 years old, by the time I'm even 30 years old or so, I can figure out pretty well what's good for me in the short term immediately. I know what's going to, you know, it's going to increase, how to make more money and how to make people like me and how to get along and stuff like that in the short term. But what's good for the community, what's good for the broader group beyond just myself, that's harder and it's more subtle and it takes a lot of time to figure it out. Here's an interesting passage in Proverbs 30, verse 11 through 14. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This young generation that he's talking about here, and stop me if any of this sounds familiar, arrogant, pure in their own eyes. Their own motives are just so pure, they never do anything wrong. They think they know everything. They've got no respect for those that went before them. They're pure in its own eyes, yet they're not washed from their own filthiness. And what's the result? Their teeth are like swords and their fangs are like knives, and they devour the poor from off the earth. In the pursuit of their arrogance, in the pursuit of their pride, because they don't respect the generation that went before them, they end up causing a great deal of suffering and oppression in the community that they're part of. They think they know it all. They think it's all got it figured out. They think they know just why everything's wrong, all the problems in society. They've got them all figured out. They know because their parents were stupid and dumb and corrupt. And they're pure and smart, and therefore they're just going to fix everything. Don't trust anybody over 30. Remember that slogan from the 60s? How much good did we get out of that? Instead, the Proverbs tells us to learn from the past, to learn from those that went before us. Not to idolize them, not to worship them, because they had faults too. They were sinful human beings also. But learn from them and then move forward. Seek the good of the community as a whole as a result, not just our own private good. And to seek the good of the community, to know what's good for the community as a whole, that takes time, that takes experience, that's hard, that's subtle. And no 20-year-old on earth has that figured out. The sad truth of things is, as we continue to talk about this subject, you know, the sad truth that we could all kind of wish that it was different, but the fact is that we all only really learn from pain. We all only really learn from pain. You know, I think of the most important learning moments in my own life were when people said hard things to me. People who loved me, or people who even didn't love me. People who just wanted to get the job done, bosses or coworkers, and said painful things to me. And it was hard, and at the time I didn't believe they were right. But over time you realize, yeah, they were right. That's true. I need to change. As long as we're comfortable and happy, as long as things are going well, then why would we change? People don't like change. Change is work. Change is hard. So if I can avoid change, I will. If I can just keep on going in my comfortable rut, keep on going the way that I'm going. Jesus says, the way is broad and wide that leads to destruction. It's easy. Just keep doing what you're doing. The road that leads to life is narrow and it's hard. and few there be that find it, he says. It's suffering, it's pain that makes us learn, if we are wise. The fool, he doesn't learn from suffering. He just gets bitter and angry, doubles down in his foolishness. This is what primarily characterizes the difference between a wise man and a fool. You can take a wise man and a fool at a snapshot in time, and they may not look very different. They may both be engaged in foolish behavior. In fact, they probably will be. What the difference is that when suffering comes on the wise man and on the fool as a result of his foolish behavior, the wise man learns from it. He says, the proverb says, strike a wise man and he'll thank you. Young people, did you ever think about this? You should be thanking God you have parents that are willing to spank you. You should be thanking God for that. That are willing to bring pain into your life so that you will learn. Because it's not easy, young people. It's not fun to spank your kids. We don't enjoy it. We do it because we love you. It's the truth. I know it's a cliche, but it is the truth. Because we know from our own lives, we only learn through pain, really, sadly. So a wise parent knows how important it is to bring pain into the life of his children in a controlled and a loving way to help them learn. So that they will learn to associate bad behavior with pain and thus avoid that bad behavior before the pain gets much, much more severe. And that's the purpose of discipline in our lives. We read Hebrews chapter 12 earlier, and it made that same point about God's treatment of us, that God, whom he loves, he chastises, that God brings suffering into our life so that we will learn, so that we will grow. Discipline yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so, Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Promptly. Because if the discipline is really going to correct the behavior, then the behavior needs to be intimately associated with the pain in the life of in the mind of the child. See, if the child does this and does this and does this day after day, and they do the same thing and they do the same thing, and they get this pattern worn in their minds about this is okay behavior, and maybe mom says, dad says, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, but nothing ever happens. And then one day after weeks and weeks of this, finally dad blows up and gets out the belt, and well, that doesn't do any good. That just makes everybody angry at each other. But when you discipline promptly, the behavior happens, the pain happens. Then the child learns. Then the child learns. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart from it. Now, this is a difficult verse in a way, and it's one that's been subject to much abuse. It's important to remember, this is a proverb, it's not a prophecy. If it was all up to the parent how the child turns out, well then why does the proverb spend so much time telling the child to listen to the parent? No, ultimately it's the child's decision. But training matters nonetheless. Training is important. And it matters when the child is young and impressionable. I've seen many young people raised in Christian homes with godly parents that did the best they knew how. And those young people even left the faith. But you could still see the effect of their training on them. You could still see it in the way that they did their jobs and the way that they, the skills that they developed and the restraint they had even to some degree from going off into the worst excesses of evil. And a lot of those young people I've seen come back to the faith as they get older, as they turn 30 and 40 and maybe as they have kids of their own. Even in unbelief, you could see the stamp of that upbringing in them. There's an ironic way of reading the passage, and some think this is the better reading, and it's interesting. It doesn't really change the heart of it, but it's that Some believe that Solomon is here saying, train up a child in the way that he would go, that is, in his own desires. That is to say, if you train a child to do what the child wants to do, then when he's old, that's what he's going to do. He's going to satisfy his own lusts and desires and just do what he wants to do, and he's not going to depart from that. But see, either way you read it, the impact is the same. The impact is that training matters. Training matters. Proverbs 23, verse 13 through 14 on the same subject says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." I often remind my children of this at crucial moments. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. "You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Now, the same principle again. I can't guarantee the salvation of my child. God's election is free. It's up to him. But the discipline of a godly parent is the means that God has used to save many a soul from hell. The most common way that God has brought people to himself throughout the history of the church for the last 2,000 years, some estimates are upwards of 90% of every single Christian that ever lived grew up in a Christian home. And I think that's probably pretty true. Only God can save the soul from hell, but God has used the rod of many a parent to do it. "So you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." Proverbs 29 verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And that just repeats, again, emphasizes what we said earlier. Children aren't just born knowing stuff. Children are born in sin and wickedness, but children are not born in wisdom and innocence. You leave a child alone, you let a child do to go his own way, and the results will be bad. Shame for his mother, as Proverbs 29 says. As I said before, rebukes in my own life, things that people have said to me, my mother and father, or employers, or teachers, professors at college, co-workers. Boy, I've needed a lot of rebuke in my life. Those are the things that have all been the things that have led to the most personal growth. Things, you know, like I said, when I'm happy, when things are going well, when I'm succeeding, then it's easy to just get in the rut and just keep doing what works and not learn anything. It's through pain that we learn. It's through pain that we grow. And therefore, we have to be willing to discipline our children, not just because we're mad at them, but because we love them and because we want good things for them. Not just because they are disrupting our plans or breaking our stuff or befouling our carpets with their muddy shoes, but because we love them and because we want good things for them. A child doesn't just know. As the proverb says, "A foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child." I'm sorry, children, but it's true. Children are born fools. And it is through discipline and training that children will stop being fools. It doesn't just happen. And so will that learning, parents, will your child learn through the loving and careful discipline you bring into their lives? Or will they learn from the much harsher and unloving pain that the world will bring into their lives later if they don't learn? Leave him alone and he'll bring shame. Don't discipline him. And the results are usually the same. Now again, this isn't a prophecy. It's a proverb. Even an undisciplined child can turn to the Lord, and many have. But he will have his own set of obstacles to overcome. He'll have his own baggage to carry. Far better to train that child in the ways of the Lord from the beginning and pray for the Lord's grace in his life. Now, all of us are failures as parents. All of us were failures as children. We're all sinners. Hebrews says that that partial and inadequate training of our parents ought to point us more to the perfect and constant and loving training of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said to the people, he says, if your son asks you for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? Even wicked parents know how to do good things for their children. And Jesus' conclusion from that was, how much more will your loving Heavenly Father then do good for you? If your parents failed you, as all parents do, let that point you to the one who will never fail you, who will discipline you perfectly, who will provide for everything you need. Hebrews 12, that passage we read a little bit earlier, says, I'm going to read a little bit of that again. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. This is Hebrews 12, verse 7. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. You know, the discipline of your earthly parents, they disciplined you for a few days. They did it as best they thought. It seemed right to them. Sometimes they did it for good reason. Sometimes it was selfish. Sometimes your mom and dad did yell at you just because you were disrupting their plans and making their life inconvenient, and not because they loved you. We all do that. We're all failures as parents. But really, that points us to God. That points us to our Heavenly Father, who always disciplines us only for our profit, it says. And disciplines us constantly and consistently, and not just for a few days as seemed best to him. All of the pain, all of the deprivation, all of the sorrows that all of us experience in our lives, whatever their source or nature, they are brought into our lives by our Heavenly Father, who has good in mind for us, who has a perfect plan and intention with every bit of pain that he brings into your life for whatever reason at all. And when we know that it is our Father in heaven doing these things, then we can learn to be thankful. We can learn that hardest of all lessons, to rejoice in tribulation, as James says. Because your Father in heaven is in control of everything. Not a sparrow falls without his will. And all is to the end of perfecting you. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For that purpose of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Sometimes pain in your life is discipline. Sometimes pain in your life is what God brings into your life as a direct result of your own sin. Sometimes pain in your life has nothing to do with that. It might be more the equivalent of your mom and dad taking you to the dentist, which is no fun, but isn't because you sin, but just because it's necessary for your health. There are different reasons why we suffer, but we can always be confident that our Heavenly Father knows exactly what he's doing. And this wisdom of the Proverbs then ultimately points us to the wisdom of God. Salvation in Jesus Christ sets us on the road to wisdom. And we can begin to walk that road at any time. Young people, children, listen to me. You can begin to walk the road to wisdom as soon as you can hear words, as soon as you can think. That you are never too young to begin being wise. And that road of wisdom will teach us to submit. Will teach us to respect those in authority over us. To benefit from their instruction, even when they are imperfect. Because our Father in heaven is perfect. And he gave you the parents you have. So we can put away anger and bitterness and rebellion. And we can submit in trust to God. For the same God you have, the same God who gave you the parents that you have, that same God sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to suffer the death, the humiliation, the shame of the cross. If God would do that for you, what would he withhold from you? If God would do that for you, do you think he just made a mistake when he gave you the parents you have? No. If you can trust him with the fate of your eternal soul, don't you think you can trust him with the parents he gave you as well? And I'm talking not just to the children now, I'm talking to you adults as well. It is God's will to govern us by the hand of imperfect people, sometimes very imperfect people. There's implications here for our political situation as well. And he could have sent down angels to do it, but he didn't. So in faith, trust him. In wisdom, the child of faith will honor his parents, will respect them and listen to them as children or as adults, and benefit from their experience, trusting that God in heaven will use it to perfect us to eternal glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you for the parents you've given all of us, even in their failings and imperfections. For Lord, we know that you who gave them to us do not fail, and you are perfect, and you always know exactly what you are doing. Teach us, therefore, to submit in trust to you and to submit to your earthly ordination for our government and the ordering of our lives, Lord. For you know what you're doing and you love your children, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would work the power of that salvation in our hearts and minds through all the affairs of our lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.